If you've lived overseas for a period of time, especially in Britain, then they suspect, Gary, that I have mad cow disease. There's no way to test for that, and so they won't let me give any longer. So when I miss a phrase or I stumble along, it's just that's another symptom that I'm experiencing. I'm continuing today in a series, The Eyes of Faith. This is the second sermon in this series entitled, Believing is Seeing. And the next one will be next Sunday, Easter Sunday. And the theme is one word next Sunday, arise, arise. And while I'm reading this morning only Mark 8, 14 to 18, just a few verses in just a moment. I also invite you to remember the story of the grand entrance, the triumphant entrance of Jesus on Palm City to the city of Jerusalem. And you saw that portrayed in the video at the beginning. And so I'm going to refer to that story as well. But both of these stories, the story from Mark 8 and the story in Luke of the great parade, Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, both of these, I believe, are stories that help us to illuminate our eyes of faith and really see what God would have us to see, the great truths that God has for us in life. And so here now, the Word of God, as it comes to us in the 8th chapter of Mark, I'm reading at verse 14. Now, the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And Jesus cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "Is it because we have no bread?" And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have ears and fail to see? And do you not remember?" And there ends the reading. Let's pray as we come to the message. Oh Lord and our God, we give you thanks for this great day of Palm Sunday and for the rich meaning in the stories that you've set before us today. May we be good learners, good followers of yours, and may we accommodate this day eyes of faith so that when we look at this world that we live in, we may truly see the great ideals and beliefs you've set aside for us so that we might really see. In Christ's name, amen. Well, today's Palm Sunday, it begins the events of Holy Week, and I can assure you the concert this afternoon will help you get a jump start in going through this week and experiencing the events that led up to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it will make your week more meaningful, in your faith, more enjoyable, by traveling through all of these events this week, beginning this afternoon at 4 p.m. The first story that I want to share with you comes from, not from Palm Sunday. You know that story and know it well, I believe. But the story I want to share with you first, and I'll come back to the Palm Sunday story at the end, I want to share with you a story that's in the middle of Mark's gospel after the story where Jesus miraculously turned a few loaves and a few pieces of fish into a great amount of food to feed thousands of people who had gathered. The multiplication of the loaves and fish. This story comes after that. Jesus performed that miracle. He fed the thousands that had gathered to hear him teach. It was late in the day, and everyone ate, we are told in the story, and they were satisfied. And then Jesus blessed them and sent them home. In the story, he has a little argument with the Pharisees. They're always arguing with him, always seeking to find something to kill him for and planning against him. And once he has that little argument and shushes them, he then goes with the disciples into the boat and they travel to the other side of the lake, perhaps to get away from all the crowds and have an evening of rest. But note, there's one particular point, a detail that Mark gives us here. Why is it important? He gives us this one detail in particular. He says the disciples had brought with them on the boat just one loaf of bread. One loaf. And they were discussing, these disciples, they were discussing among themselves whether this would be enough to satisfy their hunger. And Jesus became aware of their concern. Now remember, he's just performed this miracle of turning a few loaves and a few fish into a multitude of food to feed the thousands who had gathered. And so he's aware of their concern, and he speaks to them perhaps one of the saddest lines of all the scriptures. I mean, they're following him every day, and finally he says to them, after this great miracle, he says to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread?" Or he could have said, "One loaf of bread. Do you have eyes and do not see?" The prophet Jeremiah echoed these same kind of words of all of Israel centuries before. Jeremiah said, "Hear this, O Israel, O foolish and senseless people who have eyes but do not see." The Messiah has come in Jesus Christ, and they have a difficult time understanding that and seeing who he is. But Jesus came into the world to open the eyes of people, to help them see. He opened the eyes of many, in fact. In the stories in the Gospels, continually you see people who are made aware of who he is. And it is the continual task of the church, especially on a day like Palm Sunday, to help people see, to help the followers of Christ to see, to help others to see, both physically and spiritually. That's why each year we work so hard with so many teachers and such a good process in the confirmation class. It's our task with all of our youth and our children to help them to go through life by teaching them the stories of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Bible so that they can have eyes of faith to see their life and to see the world in which they live in. It's only with eyes of faith can we journey through this life and be effective as Christ's followers. I was so pleased to hear the need for water in Costa Rica. You can only say that kind of thing and think about the needs of others more than yourself when you have eyes of faith. And Jesus had eyes of faith. He tried to teach others and open their eyes. Why do we do all this? Why do we teach to open other people's eyes? It's because it's only with eyes of faith that we can see the great realities, the unseen realities that are a part of life that are so important. All of which is to really say it's not enough to just say seeing is believing. You know, for years they've believed that there are black holes in space. And only in the last couple of weeks have they actually seen one. But they believed it for a long, long time, and now they can prove it. But they couldn't see it before. It's not enough to say seeing is believing. It would be truer to say, as we will discover on this Palm Sunday, I hope you'll discover it, that believing enables us to see great things. For example, it's only with eyes of faith that we can truly see love. I can tell you how many times I've stood on a chancel like this or on the beach and conducted a wedding ceremony, and there's a place in the ceremony where the minister holds up a ring, if they choose to use rings, and says the wedding ring is an outward invisible sign of an inner invisible grace and love that binds two loyal hearts together. Now, in all these years, I can tell you, I can see the ring, but I cannot see the love within them. Only they see that love. We've come to witness it, but that inner invisible love, it's symbolized by that visible ring. It's a gift of faith to see what others who do not have that love can see. And we may miss many things if we do not look deeply enough into what we believe. We need to consider what we believe as we travel through this life. For the past couple of days, I've been in Myrtle Beach. My wife Joyce and I traveled up there. I conducted the funeral for my uncle, Duane. And he was a great guy. He served in the Navy. He was on the USS Enterprise for a while. He worked for the U.S. government for many, many years. He retired when he was 51. And Connie, my aunt, was 49 when they retired, and they moved to Myrtle Beach. And so we were there for the funeral of my Uncle Duane. I conducted the service. And my wife, Aunt Connie, pardon me, his wife, Uncle Duane's wife, Aunt Connie, she died a few years ago, 3 years ago. And so we were up there again for her service. And Duane has been coming down every Christmas to celebrate Christmas with us, and he's been here with us in worship. And he had cancer and died just earlier last week. But my Aunt Connie and my mother were half-sisters. And along with my side of the family that was present at Myrtle Beach for this funeral, there were just a few cousins that were from Connie's side of the family. Connie and Duane had no children, so just cousins and this nephew. And my brothers, who were also nephews. My mother's still alive. But here we were, this jumbled group of family that had gathered for his service. We only knew each other over the years because of the love of my mother to her half-sister, Aunt Connie, their love for one another. They brought the family together. We hardly knew the cousins. We had seen them ever so often, but only when my mother and Connie got us together. My mother and Aunt Connie, they were aware of each other when they were teenagers in my little hometown, but they weren't encouraged at all to get to know one another. As a matter of fact, in the late 50s or middle 50s, when my mother was a teenager, it was kind of a taboo that you related to the other side of the family if your parents had been divorced. And so she didn't know her stepsister. And later, after their father died, my mother and Aunt Connie made it a point to bring the families back together. It was because, you see, of this invisible love between two stepsisters that we were all together because of their love. That's why we were at my Uncle Duane's funeral. Their belief in family made the relationships possible. And so one thing I hope you see in your own life is the importance of belief in family, in connections. And it may be just you at some point in life that builds that bridge with family and brings them together. Your family is a gift to you. And eyes of faith help us to see that, especially on occasions like a funeral when you have a chance to visit, having not seen one another for many years. You know, I hope that it's only with eyes of faith, with spiritual insight, that you can really see people for who they are. Our physical eyes, they see only bodies that our real selves live in. Jesus saw into people. He saw into common people. In fact, he called as his disciples tax collectors and fishermen, and in them he saw character, he saw leadership, he saw strength, and he appointed just 12 of them at the beginning to carry the faith and to turn the world upside down, and they did. Jesus always saw people. I love the story. There was a day when Jesus was invited to the home of Simon, and Simon was a Pharisee, and at that home, as they were sitting at table, there was a woman from the streets who came into the house, and people knew her as a prostitute in the city. And she came into the house, and she came and she stood before Jesus, and she began to cry, and she knelt before Jesus, and she had brought with her an expensive bottle of ointment. And she took the tears that were flowing onto his feet, and she took the ointment, and she took her hair, and she washed Jesus' feet. It was a great act of love in that day and time to do such a thing. And Simon was thinking to himself in that story in the Gospels, he was thinking, if this man Jesus were a prophet, he would know. He would know what sort of woman this is. In other words, he wouldn't be doing this. He wouldn't be allowing it. But Jesus in that story, and I love this part of the story, Jesus reads Simon's mind, and then he speaks these words to Simon. Simon, do you see this woman? Simon saw her, but not as Jesus, the Savior of the world and the Son of God, not as he saw her. And in the story, Jesus looks at the woman. He says, "Your sins are forgiven," and she goes away in peace. Jesus saw people. Jesus believed and knew that with the grace and the power of God, that our lives can be transformed into something more beautiful than we can ever imagine. If we take the time to understand deeply what we believe and look at everything with eyes of faith. It's my hope that our confirmands will remember Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. As you look at the world and you see all the news and all the heartache, all the devastation of the storms, remember God is the ruler yet. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help, even in times of trouble. It takes eyes of faith to believe that. Only through eyes of faith can you and I see what is really great in the world, what is really great in the nation. I'll tell you what's great in our nation. It's not so much our spacious skies, our amber waves of grain, our purple mountains majesties. All countries have beautiful landscapes. That's not what makes this country great. What makes this nation great is seen in the noblest of ideas that we value. For example, some of the greatest ideals ever to find expression in the lives of people are held strongly in this country. For example, the equality of all people. That's a strong belief, and because of that belief, we see the world differently. The value of the human soul, the sacredness of human life, the idea that everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. As painful as that is, process is important in this country. Liberty, and that there be justice for all. It is believing in these things. That's what makes this country great. Only through our belief in God do we really see with eyes of faith what is important. Which brings me to the second story for today, the story of Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which I read at the beginning of the service and the traditional services, and you saw on the video in here. The great crowd has gathered to the entrance of the city gates of Jerusalem, and God reveals at that moment some great truths about who Jesus is to us as we begin this Holy Week and the events that lead up to the cross and the resurrection. One of the first great truths that we see in the Palm Sunday story is in God's Word that tells us that the people waved palm branches in the air and then they laid them on the ground for Jesus to ride that donkey into Jerusalem. Now, palm branches symbolize victory. They symbolize, in this case, the final victory that Jesus would make over death in the events that would follow that week. And so we believe this about the symbolism of those branches. They symbolize victory over death. And because of that, we see the Friday that follows, not a bad Friday, but a good Friday. Even though we grieve Jesus' death and the pain and the suffering that he experienced, it is a good Friday because we have eyes of faith. And then secondly, when the people shouted, "Hosanna," I was delighted the video said, we don't really know what this means. It may mean something like hooray, which has no meaning. No, Hosanna has a meaning. And when translated, it means save us. Hosanna. They're calling out to the King, the Messiah, that's come. Save us. Save us. They were hailing Christ as King. And you see, God had a plan that is greater than any human plan for the salvation of the world. It's a plan that none of us could have conceived. A plan that none of us could have foreseen. It reminds me of Romans 10:9. The Apostle Paul says to us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Our eyes of faith on this Palm Sunday, they remember for us that Christ's reign is greater than any reign of anyone that's ever come. with eyes of faith, we celebrate today that God has an ultimate plan and that he sent his son to fight the final battle and has victory now over death. And so I hope in this Holy Week that God will direct all of our thoughts toward what matters most, Jesus Christ as our Lord and our King. Let us pray as we come to our closing song. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your word to us, this story about the disciples who seemed to have no eyes of faith at time, and yet you continued to call them and love them, and you would make them ready, and you would prepare them, and they would prosper in faith and bring many more unto you. And we thank you for the story of Palm Sunday and what it helps us to really see about who Jesus is for us and is for the world. We thank you for all of this in this holiest of weeks. In Christ's name, amen.